Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the nation, the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world. In my personal Turn It, Don't Burn It studios here in Portland, Oregon, and we welcome all of our affiliates on the Barbecue Nation Network and through the Envision Networks. Commander Chris is over there trying to stay awake in the corner, and Camaro Dave is out washing his car again, as we know. We've got the biggest barbecue holiday for most people, not everybody, but for most people, coming up on the 4th of July. And I've asked my old friend of the show and good personal friend, Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com, to join us again today. We like having Meathead on the show a lot, and we're going to be talking ribs, of all things. So we're going to get to Meathead in just a minute. Also, don't forget that Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Beef you can feel good about. Serving your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. All right, let's get to some ribs, buddy. Welcome.
Hey, good to be talking to you again. You know, you always talk about the Turn It and Don't Burn It studios. Do you have a grill in the studio?
They won't let me.
That'd be so cool.
Although I have done that on television, had a grill inside, but we kind of got in trouble with that one time too. So they have no sense of humor. You know what I mean? No sense of humor. Okay, a couple of things real quick. There are lots of different styles of ribs, and we're going to cover those.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different cooking techniques for ribs. And we're going to cover those. But my question to you, my friend, is what's your favorite right off the bat?
I like them spare ribs, or actually St. Louis cut, which is the upper half of the spare rib. It's the center cut of the rib cage. And I actually like to call them center cut ribs. It sounds cooler than St. Louis cut.
Sure.
And I hope we don't have a St. Louis affiliate listening and get offended at that. But I'd rather eat center cut ribs than St. Louis ribs. I like to have them Kansas City style, which is with that classic American red barbecue sauce. Not too much. A good spice rub. I think that's pretty much right in the mainstream. I don't have really exotic tastes. I like mustard sauces, but I prefer them on pulled pork, not on my ribs. And I'm going to be cooking up a mess of them on the 4th of July. There's always a big party here, and I'll probably have at least a dozen slabs going.
There you go. I'm with you on that. I like them classic style, if you will. I like a little bit of rub. A little bit of sauce or glaze, because I use it more, as we've talked before, like a glaze at the end.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I like it that way. And then I like to cut them up and pile them up on big plates and just watch the stack go down as people enjoy them. You know, that's
exactly what I do. same thing here. You know, Thanksgiving is turkey.
Right.
If you can afford it, a big Christmas roast, beef roast for Christmas. Easter, ham. But for me, 4th of July is ribs. And I think it should be the national meat of the holiday. It's just, I just associate ribs with 4th of July.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people do think about, you know, burgers and dogs or brats or something like that. But like you, you can do those anytime, you know, during the week. It's easy to put a burger on the grill during the week, or a hot dog or a brat or a sausage, whatever you want. Easy to cook, easy, you know, prep, because there's really not much prep time. You cook it, you serve it, you eat it, you're gone. Ribs take a little longer, of course. And that's why I tend to, like, if you're going to have a party and you're going to have a dozen people over, or even just two people over, that takes a little time. There's a little more love and care goes into cooking
that's
the ribs.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
You know, cooking for others is an act of love. And I think that if you take your time and you do something special for other people, they understand and they appreciate. I think, you know, cooking for others is the second most intimate act. You know, when you're putting food in somebody's mouth, you're giving them nourishment, you're giving them stamina, you're giving them love. And we'll throw a couple of dogs on the grill for the kids.
Sure.
That prefer hot dogs. Although kids love ribs. By the way, if your listeners are out there, take a picture of a kid with sauce all over his face this 4th of July and send it to us. I've got a collection of them, and I'll publish them on AmazingRibs.com.
There you go.
Sauce face. Send us your best sauce face picture. They're just so adorable. They love, you know, going for a swim with that barbecue sauce. And it just tastes so good. I absolutely love cooking ribs for 4th of July. And, you know, they've asked me if I'll do some other things. Would I do a brisket or something? No, it's ribs.
It's ribs. Yeah, I'm down with that. Okay, so we've got about 4 minutes here, 3 minutes and change before we got to go to our first break. But Meathead's going to be with us through the whole show and the after hours, so don't worry about that. Prep. Let's talk. We got this 4 minutes here. Let's talk about prepping the grill before you even start. And then next segment, we'll start telling you how to cook the ribs. But what do we do with our grills?
You've got to cook ribs low and slow. The thing about ribs is that is a really hardworking section of the animal, just like you. Your ribs are constantly twisting, moving. The lungs are right behind them. They protect your internal organs. The same thing on a hog. And there's a lot of connective tissue that makes them tough. There's a lot of fat, which makes them not a diet food, but that's what gives them a lot of flavor. So you've got to cook them at a low temperature, and you've got to cook them slowly. And so you've got to learn how to set up your grill in two zones. Or if you have a smoker, it's not an issue, because smokers are almost always set up for indirect cooking. But that's what you want to do here. You don't want to put it directly over flame, over coals, or over fire.
Yeah, and many disappointed child has had a grim look on his face when dad or mom pulls off a charred rack of ribs because they threw it on a grill, and it really doesn't matter, again, whether it's charcoal or gas or what have you, and they ignored it, and they come back an hour later and this thing doesn't look too sharp. You know what I mean?
Well, when we come back from break, let's talk about how to set up the grill in two zones. So you can have an indirect convection air heated zone, and that's the way to gently cook these ribs and get them tender, succulent, and juicy. And we'll get there in the next break, after the break.
Yeah, we can do that. And before we go to break, one other thing. Do you have a particular brand that you like? I mean, Swift is the biggest packager of pork in the, you know, in the whole country. And then you've got Smithfield, and you've got other brands around. They're all pretty good, but do you have one that you particularly like?
There's most of the big national brands. These are hogs grown in a factory. They're commodity pork. The quality is pretty much the same. And their availability is really regional. You've got one grocery store that buys nothing but Armour, and another buys nothing but Smithfield. Right now, my current favorite is a small Minnesota producer called Compart. They specialize in a breed of hog called Duroc, and it's a very nice, very tender, very juicy cut of pork. It's more expensive. There's a whole bunch of new heritage hogs coming on the market. Berkshire, Red Wattle, Mangalista, really hard to find, but they're hogs that have a little more marbling and a little more flavor.
There you go. We are going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with our dear friend Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com right after these messages. Please stay with us. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Envision Radio Network and the Barbecue Nation Radio Network and from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios and all that good stuff I ever tell you about. Before we get back talking with Meathead very quickly, if you'd like to email us, it's barbecuebbq@salempdx.com. That's bbq@salempdx.com. It's also check out our Facebook page, which is Barbecue Nation with JT, and our SoundCloud, where we have an archive of all of our shows, and we're going to be breaking 100,000 downloads here in probably about a month. Yeah, you just go to Barbecue Nation. You have to spell that one out with JT, and you can go listen to all the old shows if you'd like to. So let's get back and talk with our friend Meathead Goldwyn. Two-zone heating. Sounds like my house.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the deal. When you're grilling, you've got essentially three different kinds of energy, and it's better to think of it as energy than heat. Radiant heat, which is what comes directly above the coals or the flames, and that's infrared radiation, just like standing out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But the air temp is the same regardless. There's just more energy that comes directly from the coals or the flames. Just like when you take the temperature outside, the air temp in the sun and in the shade is the same. What makes it seem like it's hotter and the thermometer reads higher is because the metal in the thermometer is being affected by radiation, infrared radiation. Now, this is not the kind of radiation that we'll use for an X-ray or gamma rays. It's not dangerous, but it is a form of concentrated heat. Then you also have conduction energy, the hot metal. Now, the air inside that grill might be, let's say, 225 degrees, which is a good number for cooking ribs.
Mm-hmm.
But that metal is also 225 degrees. Now, if you lift the lid on the grill and you put your arm into a 225-degree oven, let's say, you can do it in the oven or outside, you can actually hold your arm inside a 225-degree oven for a few minutes without really burning yourself. But if you put your hand on that metal, when you get back from the hospital,
yeah,
you'll know that there's more energy stored in the metal, and that's what causes grill marks. It's the same temperature as the air, but it's grill marks are caused by the metal absorbing and producing more energy in contact with the meat. And then finally, the most gentle is the convection airflow. And that's what the air temperature is. And it's really important to understand that the hot air only cooks the outside of the meat. It can't penetrate the meat. So the hot air warms the outside of the meat, but the outside of the meat conducts the energy down towards the center of the meat. And meat is about 70% water. Although ribs, with all their fat, is probably closer to, you know, most meats are about 10% fat. Ribs are probably 15 to 20% fat. But in either case, the heat penetrates meat more slowly,
mm-hmm,
than it,
yes,
does air. It's an insulator. So you've got all these different energy sources and energy issues going on. And one of the things you need to do when you set up your grill is you just want to keep, almost all the time, you want to keep your meat away from the direct radiant heat, away from the coals, away from the flames. You do use that heat when you want to brown the surface, when you want to sear something, when you want to broil it, it's like in a broiler or in a toaster. You want to get it over that heat just to get intense energy. But most of the time, you want to cook meats away from the heat at a low temperature. When meat gets hot, the proteins contract and it squeezes out moisture. And that's what makes meat dry. So you take your grill, and if you got a charcoal grill, you're going to push all the coals off to one side. If you've got a gas grill, you're going to turn one burner on high and leave the other burners off. And you're going to fiddle with them, but you want to get about 225 degree air temp in the indirect zone. That's the zone away from the heat. And that's a nice, easy, gentle temperature for slowly roasting ribs in indirect convection airflow heat. And then, of course, if you can, you want to throw some wood on top of the flame or on top of the coals in order to generate smoke, because smoke is very elegant flavor and it adds complexity. But you're not going to put those ribs over direct radiant heat at all.
No, because like I said in the last segment, you know, I've seen it, and I will confess, back in the early days when I was kind of learning, I did that, and you find out very quickly that that's not the way to do it. Unless you
especially with all that fat, what happens then, among other things, you're putting a lot of energy in there, so you're shrinking the protein, squeezing out the juices, you're browning the surface, which is sometimes what you want to do, especially on a steak, but you're also squeezing a lot of the fat out, and that's dripping down on the fire, and that's where you get your flare-ups, and you get soot on the meat, or they flare up, and the meat blackens and burns.
Yep, and a little sidebar story here. I know it's kind of popular with some folks to do that caveman style, throw your steaks on the hot coals or the smoldering coals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm just not down with that.
No, that's a parlor trick.
Yeah.
The closer you get to the coals, the more radiant heat you get, the more energy. Now, let's diverge just a bit here and talk about a steak. If you want to do a beautiful steak, you want a good dark brown crust. You want it brown because that brown is caused by a chemical reaction called the Maillard reaction, and that's where the proteins are altered by the heat. The chemistry changes. You get all kinds of wonderful flavors from browning, just like you do when you toast an English muffin or something.
Right.
Or coffee beans. Brown is beautiful. So with a steak, you do want to get high direct radiant heat. But only to get the surface. And we're not going to get into steaks too much today because there's a whole ramble that we can do about how thick the steak is and whether you want to start it over radiant heat or indirect and yada, yada, yada. But ribs, you don't want to get them over radiant heat until the very end of the cook. And then we'll talk about what you want to do with the sauce. But at the start of the cook, you don't want them anywhere near the heat. And let's also talk about how long it takes to cook them and the prep before we start cooking them.
We will. But we're going to take a break first here on Barbecue Nation, and Meathead and I will be back in just a few minutes. So I hope you're getting your appetites ready out there because it's going to be a great 4th of July. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033. That's Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Meathead Goldwyn from Amazing Ribs with us today. We're talking about how to make your 4th of July even more patriotic by eating some great ribs. I don't know if you can tie the two together, but I always do mentally anyway.
And well, actually, this year's 4th of July is an interesting one. I love history, and I'm a bit of a history buff. World War One ended in November 2018. So this is the 100th anniversary of the first 4th of July after the end of World War One. And World War One was the big one. I mean, it was just massive. Millions killed. A lot of us know more about World War Two than World War One, but it was a pretty bloody fight. And we were only in the fight for less than a year. And so when it ended, there was a huge relief in this country, and the July 4th after the end of World War One was a really big deal.
There you go.
So we can be celebrating the end of World War One.
There you go. I like that. I like that. Something else I like is our friends at Painted Hills Natural Beef. There comes a beef product to your table that you can feel good about. Of course, I've told you about that before, but they have no hormones or steroids or antibiotics in them. And that's Painted Hills Natural Beef. So because I've got you on the show today, I'm going to make an announcement. Meathead will be joining us on a regular basis on Barbecue Nation. Is now 2 hours long and will be in most markets as we launch nationwide here in a couple weeks. Meathead will be giving us a tip segment each week. We're still working out the details, but that's going to happen. And we'll be starting that probably in mid-July. So welcome to the Barbecue Nation family, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that'll be fun.
It'll be.
Hey, and you mentioned Painted Hills.
Yes.
You know, we're focusing on when most of us talk about ribs, we're almost always talking about pork ribs.
Right.
And, you know, that's what, you know, you go to a rib joint, it's mostly pork ribs. But beef ribs are a lot of fun, and they're starting to catch on. You cook them differently and you treat them differently. I think probably you and I should continue with our treatise on pork ribs, which is what most of us are thinking about. But let's see if we can find some time before the show's over and talk a little bit about beef ribs.
We can do that, or we can do it also in the after hour segment, where that's just a wide open wild, wild west, as we like to say.
Okay,
so how do we prep them? I mean, you...
Okay.
Yeah, you go to the store and you get a vacuum pack, or if you've got a butcher and they've got a stack of slabs there, and you pick out a slab or two, whatever you want. You take them home. Now, what do they do?
Well, okay. Why don't we talk about the different cuts so you can have, because you got some choices to make. There's baby back ribs, which run about 5-6 inches at the most long, and they're curved, kind of like a hockey stick,
right?
Because they attach to the spine. That's why they're called back ribs. And they call them baby back because they're a little smaller. And they're attached to the spine, and also the loin, which is where most of our pork chops come from, are attached to the back ribs also. So the most of the meat on baby backs is loin meat on top of the bones. And that's a very lean and tender meat. And a lot of people really like baby back ribs because of that layer of meat on top. And if you know your butcher, you can ask them to cut you a slab of ribs and leave on extra loin meat. If you want to do that, you'll get really meaty ribs. You may have to pay a premium price for them because loin meat is expensive, but he can trim them so that you get extra loin meat. That's why knowing your butcher is a really good thing to do. Now, used to be all grocery stores had a trained butcher in the back room. A lot of them don't now. Most of them buy their meat pre-cut in what they call boxed meat. It comes in a box.
Yeah.
But a lot of groceries still have meat cutters in the back who can do custom cutting. And when you order a pork rib roast, it comes with the loin and the rib meat attached. So if you want to do it, you can order a whole rib roast, and it's pretty darned easy to remove the rib slab from the loin meat. Now you've got a big tube of loin meat, which you can either roast by itself or cut it into pork chops, and you've got a slab of ribs with extra meat on it, or you can ask the butcher to do it for you. So it's a good idea to find a butcher you know and cultivate that butcher. I think it's more important to cultivate a butcher than a stockbroker. and one of the best ways to do it is bring them a slab of ribs one day when you're out there cooking up some ribs. The head butcher usually shows up early in the morning when the trucks arrive, and they leave early in the afternoon. They don't work till 5. They're out of there by 3 or 4 o'clock often. So show up sometime mid-morning with a fresh slab of ribs you just cooked and leave it with them for lunch. They'll love you, and they'll never forget you. And when you need a special cut, they'll take good care of you. So that's the back rib story there. They're a little leaner than the other cuts of ribs.
Well, but like now, you said, you can buy them. I've actually seen the vacuum packed ones that are the baby backs, if you will, but they'll say extra meaty, and they've left that little extra half inch of meat on the inside, and they're quite good. They're very good.
Yeah, and that's something else that you reminded me of. You want to look at them in the case, in the pack. You'll often see the bones showing through. Those are called shiners. And when you see the bone showing through, that means there's less meat.
Yep.
So you want to try to pick a slab that doesn't have shiners. Of course, they often package them 2 slabs per pack. The top slab looks beautiful, and guess what? The under slab has shiners on them.
Yeah.
You want to try to pick those that look meatier. You know, if you're eating ribs, just forget about your diet. I mean, they are fatty. They're a special occasion food. You don't eat ribs every day. Don't stand there and fuss over which one has less fat. If there's one that appears to have less fat, it's cosmetic. They're all fatty. And that's what makes them delicious.
Yes.
So you just don't eat them all the time. And maybe you don't eat a lot of them, but you're going to get a fatty piece of meat, and that's just the way it is.
That's the way it is, and that's why it's
get
there.
Over it.
Yeah. So, okay, we've got about 3.5 minutes now. They get them home. How should they prep them?
Well, we didn't finish the other cuts.
Sorry.
Let's move down the rib cage where the baby backs end. You have another section called spare ribs, and that is the section that goes from the end of the baby backs and wraps around the chest to the breast. And those are the spare ribs, and they can be a lot bigger, and they usually don't have a lot of meat on top of them. Most of the meat is in between the bones. On top of the spare ribs is where the side meat is, and that's where bacon comes from. A lot of people think bacon is belly only, but it's also side.
Right.
Side and belly. And so the bacon lays on top of the spare ribs. And then there's that cut we talked about earlier, the center cut, where they chop off the breast meat or it's a lot of little cartilage pieces, you end up with a really nice shaped rectangular center cut that is commonly called the St. Louis cut.
Right.
And that's, I think, one of my favorites. They look good. The bones are pretty flat. They're not terribly curved. And there's a lot of meat in between them, and they're just delicious.
Yeah, those you can actually eat with a knife and fork if you want to.
Good God, no.
No. Now, if you're elderly, my mom is 96 years old. She's kind of a gummer. So I allow her to eat with a knife and fork.
I think we're done here.
Well, I'll let you take that up.
No,
with my
I mean, the whole point of ribs is to get sloppy.
I know.
If you don't get it on your elbows and your chin and your shirt, you're not doing it right.
Hey, meathead. Gotcha. Okay. We just got about 30 seconds left before we have to go to break. And we'll come back, we'll finish this up, and we'll do a lot more in after hours, but do you think, yes or no, people should spend a lot of time creating their own barbecue sauces?
I don't have a lot of time, but it's fun, and you can really tailor it. I mean, you can start with a commercial sauce and doctor it. You know, you can add more vinegar, you can add more sugar, you can add orange zest, you can add sautéed onions, you can add molasses, you can blend 2 sauces and come up with something that's your personal stamp, pour it in a jelly jar, put a handwritten label on it, and tell people you can't give them the recipe, otherwise you'd have to kill them.
There you go. That's the answer I was looking for. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more Barbecue Nation with our buddy Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com and yours truly, JT, right after this. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with my buddy Meathead Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com today. By the way, of course, he can't ever hear this when we put these shows together, but the music today is from the group Chicago, some of their greatest hits. So,
oh, man, I love Chicago. I'm an old man. I mean, they were big when I was in college.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we were in college about the same time. So I think you were maybe 2 years ahead of me or something, but it was good, and I used to love that. When I got my first job on a radio station, I played a lot of Chicago music because I was the AM drive time jock. So,
yeah, I'm University of Florida class of 71.
Well, there you
go. So I'm probably a few years older than you.
Well, we don't have to talk about that. So, okay. So now we've gone through the different types of ribs and stuff, and we will be talking about beef ribs in the after hour show, but. So they get them home and they prep them how?
Okay. You can rinse them if you want. Sometimes they feel a little slimy. The general wisdom from the food safety experts is when you rinse meat in the sink, you spatter and you aerosolize any bacteria that might be on the surface. Whoa. So the general wisdom now from the food safety, wash the meat. Don't worry. If there's a little bacteria on the surface, they're going to die the minute they get into the heat. They're not going to give it a funny flavor. There's nothing to worry about. But it's really hard to break old habits, and especially if it feels a little bit slimy or something. So just be careful when you rinse it. Use low pressure and try not to splatter. Once they're wet, then you can apply the rub. Most rubs come with salt in them. Now, I recommend you make your own rubs. First of all, it's a lot cheaper, and you can make them without salt, because salt and spices are really different. Salt is the magic rock, and it's different than garlic or paprika or sugar or anything else that might be in your rub. Salt is two little atoms, sodium and chloride, and when they get wet, they can actually penetrate the meat and go into the center. But sugar, for example, basic sugar, 23 atoms. They can't penetrate. They're too big. They sit on the surface. Now, a lot of your listeners are going to argue with me, but this is absolutely well-known meat science. All these things that are in your rub, they don't go beyond a 16th of an inch past the surface, just into the pores, just into the cracks and crevices. They can't get to the center. So you apply salt and the spices separately, and you apply them based on the weight of the meat. Because if you're going to do a 5-pound pork butt, which is sort of like a football shape, you're going to need more salt to penetrate. But you won't need any more rub because it's just on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So I have recipes on our website, AmazingRibs.com, that have all kinds of rubs for pork, beef, fish, lamb, you name it. Carefully formulated, they all work, they win prizes in competitions, and they don't have any salt in them. That also is good for people with low salt diets. It also means that you can apply it to things like hams, which are well salted, or turkeys, which are often injected with salt. So you should play with making your own rubs, and you can start with my recipes and modify them from there. But apply your salt. The thicker the meat is, the longer in advance. For ribs, you don't need to apply them any more than an hour or so before you cook. For a pork butt, which is, can be 6-8 inches thick, overnight. And then you put on your spice rub, and usually your typical pork rubs include garlic, some sugar, maybe some brown sugar, paprika, onion. I like ginger in there. It's something that I discovered that a lot of Chinese restaurants use in their pork ribs, and it really complements pork well. I have some very finely ground rosemary. I know a lot of people don't like rosemary, but it gets hidden. And it balances it out, but you can make your own. You can leave out the rosemary if you don't like it. So, and it's a lot cheaper than buying a rub. So you're going to get a rub on there, and the rub doesn't have to go on long in advance since it's not going to penetrate. It's just sitting on the surface. Now, some people like to put down a layer of mustard first as a glue to hold the spices on, but water works just fine. The mustard isn't going to liquid mustard is not going to add a lot of flavor. It's fairly dilute. So just wet water. And the spice rub goes on, salt first, spice rub, and then on the grill, indirect heat.
There you go. Now, we just told you the secret. I mean, I'm directing this comment to our listening audience. We just told you the secret of cooking ribs for your big 4th of July party that's coming up. And I can't wait for that. Meathead,
Do we have a little extra time?
We just ran out of time, but we will cover whatever you want to cover in the after hour show. I promise.
Well, we didn't talk about how long to cook them.
Well, then they'll have to turn into after hours, won't they? That's called a hook in my business.
Okay.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.